Hello, and welcome to Sounding Out with Izzy, the podcast where we have conversations with musicians, music producers, publicists, live promoters, zine makers, journalists, and more about their experiences working in the music industry as women, non-binary, and queer people. I'm your host, Isabel Korp, the founder of the queer femme music-based blog and YouTube channel, A Girl's Two Sound Sense. For today's episode, I chat with the wonderful and lovely Ella Ozturk. I learned a lot throughout our conversation about Ella's upbringing in a Turkish-American household on the West Coast. And I also learned that she is quite the gifted designer and high fashion student who dreams of owning her own brand one day. We also talk about her love of the greatest soul queen divas like Aretha Franklin and Etta James and her longtime love of Adele. I'm really excited for you all to hear the conversation, and without further ado, let's get right into this episode. All right, well, why don't we start out with the normal way I've been opening most of these episodes nowadays. Why don't you state your name, where you are, and what time it is?
Okay, sure. My name is Ella Ozturk. I'm based in San Francisco, and currently it is 8:06 in the morning.
I am excited to chat with you, as you seem to be really popping off. I was looking at your press page, and everyone, the Honey Pop, Hype Magazine loves you, Ones to Watch loves you.
Thanks for having me, too. I appreciate it.
So to start out, I'd like to get into your background and your origin story a little bit. So what was early childhood like for you? Where were you at the time and what was going on?
Yeah, so I was born in Istanbul, Turkey. I'm Turkish American, and I grew up in the Bay Area since I was 5. And yeah, so I basically lived in California most of my life. My childhood has just basically been filled by, you know, the arts and music. I grew up as a choir kid and just, you know, always grew up singing and you know, being in local shows. And my dad was a hobby musician, and I was heavily just surrounded by music. And I think that's how I fell into it at a young age. And then I never stopped. So here we are.
Nice. And how old are you now, by the way?
Right now, I'm 25. I think my parents wanted us to have bigger opportunities in life and be able to have an education in the U.S. And, you know, my dad has always been kind of fascinated with American culture, and he always wanted to immigrate there, and he eventually made it happen. So it's kind of, you know, been a long journey, but for him, at least, it's been something he's planned for a long time. But for me, it's kind of just felt like my second home. And people always ask me, you know, do I feel more Turkish or do I feel more American? But, you know, when you belong to two cultures, it's always like you're never 100% anything. I always feel Turkish in America and American in Turkey. So I'm always just trying to find that blend. But yeah, that's kind of how that happened. I just went to public school, and then for college, I went to private. I went to the Academy of Art in San Francisco. I actually have a bachelor's in fashion design, so that's like another artistic venue that I'm also passionate about. I hope to also have my own brand one day. I only did fashion design because the Academy of Art has quite a hard program. They actually don't let anyone double major, because I just don't think it's possible. If you have ever had anyone go to the school, it's quite tough.
Interesting. What was the culture like there?
the classes on average, like we have studio classes and they would be like 6 hours long. And then the regular classes are like 3 hours long. And most of the teachers are artists themselves, you know, or they've been in the industry for a long time. And so it really feels like you're kind of like on Project Runway. And some of my teachers almost won Project Runway. So they're quite tough. And, you know, it's quite project based, you know, classes, and you really have to run around to make it happen and meet deadlines. So it can definitely wear you down. But, you know, the people that graduate are kind of, you know, the best at what they do.
Yeah, that sounds really intense.
Yeah, it's quite intense.
I didn't know that about you. That's pretty awesome.
Thanks. Yeah.
Who are some of your favorite high fashion designers of all time? That's just like a question that's popping up in my head now.
Yeah, I actually am a huge fan of Alexander McQueen. Actually, our school's director, Simon, he was roommates with Alexander McQueen in St. Martin's in London. And so he was, you know, friends with Alexander McQueen before he became Alexander McQueen, and also designed with him and also designed for Givenchy. And he kind of designed our entire school's program. And I met him a couple times, and he's super cool. And he's just been a designer that I've loved. So it's been really interesting to meet someone who was there around his prime, you know, because Alexander McQueen was just such a legendary designer when he was around. And so, yeah, that's the first one that pops into my mind.
So when you were a kid, like what sort of stuff were you listening to? What was the most foundational in your record collection?
Yeah, so my dad played heavily a lot of like Alicia Keys, Sheryl Crow. We also listened to a lot of like rock, Bon Jovi, Queen. I had quite an extensive record collection, and I think that's why I'm just a music head in general. Like I'm in love with like R&B and soul, and that's why I make that style of music. Like that's where my heart lies. But I mean, I'll listen to classical music, I'll listen to Broadway, I'll listen to you know, Latin music. Like I just love music in general. I don't discriminate. I listen to country, like all types of music, because I grew up being exposed to so many different genres. But I think for me, I just really respect artists that have strong voices, ideally write their own music. I'm a songwriter first. I've been writing songs since I was like six. It's like the love of my life. It's just like my therapy, my safe place. And lyrics are just super important to me, and song structure is super important to me. So it's the first thing I look at when I am listening to music. And then I obviously just love artists that are really true to their artistic truth. And so I really love the greats. And in terms of modern artists, like I would say Adele and Amy Winehouse are like my two biggest heroes.
Who would you say is like top of the line for you when it comes to inspiration of all time?
Like Adele is my musical hero. I love her to bits and pieces. She is just everything to me. I can't stop talking about her. I will always mention her in an interview. She's just like, just my favorite artist ever. And it's probably, you know, apparent in my music. I do get compared to her. And I think it's because you can hear I pull inspiration from her just because she's my hero. She's someone who actually was also inspired by like the greats like Aretha Franklin and Etta James. And I just feel like not a lot of people in my generation are keeping that style of music up. And so I just feel like that's why I look heavily up to her, because she's all about that style of music of just like old school soul and like big soul diva singers. And that's kind of the lineage I want to belong to.
I love that. Yeah, Adele's great.
She's amazing.
When you started making your own music, what was the big catalyst for you in terms of, I have this thing here that I made, and I don't just want to keep it for me, I want to share it with the world.
I've always had this like innate feeling that I have to express myself and I can't keep it bottled in. And like I mentioned, songwriting, I feel like it's my escape, and I'm a storyteller. So there's a part of me that's like nervous to share my feelings with everyone in the world, but it's also like I want to share my story with the world. I want other people to see my art, because I know that if I can relate to it, that other people can relate to it. And again, it comes down to, you know, wanting to be part of that old school soul lineage of artists. So if that makes sense, it's basically like I'm trying to bring back that style of music and keep it going for my generation. So it's always a struggle of like wanting to stay hidden, but also wanting to, you know, be kind of a trend maker.
Nice. You mentioned Sheryl Crow earlier. Have you watched the Sheryl documentary on, I think it's HBO, or I don't think it's called HBO anymore, like Max or whatever,
Max.
or maybe Showtime. I can't remember, but did you watch it?
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. I haven't had time. There's so many things that I need to catch up on, but I do, follow her on Instagram. I saw she got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Really well deserved.
Finally, yeah.
She's so amazing, and I love her.
Yeah, I recently learned that all I want to do was basically just a poem she found verbatim, a poem called Fun by Wynn Cooper. And I don't think she changed a single word except for like the main refrain, like coming back, obviously, but that is astounding. Like, that is insane that she made that into such a hit. Like, that is so rad. Like, I can't believe I didn't know that until watching the doc.
I didn't know that either. Thanks for sharing that. I'm definitely gonna watch the documentary, but I think a lot of, songwriters are inspired by poems and reading. I think it's kind of a secret weapon. If you read a lot, you can actually be a good writer in all regards. So I also try to read poems and, books a lot, but that makes sense. I feel like Sheryl Crow is just always working on her craft, and she's just a natural storyteller.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I don't think anyone forgets the first time they hear If It Makes You Happy.
Oh my God, I still listen to that to this day. It's so good.
What is one of your favorite compositions that you've ever written? Like your favorite song that still astounds you that something like that came out of you to this day?
Yeah, I think for me, my song Roots is just like a personal song for me. It was kind of like a breakthrough. It was a song that I really needed during a time in my life, and I couldn't really find anything like it. And so when that song came out of me and it was written very quickly, I just felt like it was just like a magical moment. As a songwriter, sometimes songs are very hard to write and you rewrite them so many times, and some songs are just like they just flow through you. You're just like the vessel for it. It just needed to be put into the world. And that's how Roots was for me. And then Roots was like the first song I feel like kind of got things started for me. It was like the first song I got press and the first song that like I got like random people making like TikTok videos to, and like random followers just DMing me day and night, just being like, love Roots, like really relate to it, really relate to it, like from different countries or all around the world. And it just kind of started. And then I put out a couple other songs until, now, but and it's just again a personal song for me, so it just feels like that's the answer for me. But lyrically, I think it's a very universal and timeless kind of message.
Yeah, definitely. I do love that song as well.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And would you like to tell me about your latest song, Healing, and how that came about?
Yeah, so healing is basically just like the idea that you can't heal in the places that you get hurt in. And it's all about like letting go of kind of someone and an environment that doesn't serve you. And it's very lyrically driven. That song was hard to write. It's very detailed in terms of the lyrics, and we changed a lot of things like over and over, but one of my favorite lines is like, what you put me through is written in scars. And it's just like a really detailed song and very kind of poetic in a way too. And you know, it's been kind of nice to see the reaction from people. I've gotten some good press. It's my first song to get placed on a couple editorial playlists. And yeah, it's been kind of fun. It's been fun to see what people are, you know, thinking about it. And yeah, I'm excited for all the new music I'm currently working on, and it's gonna be, you know, fun to kind of follow up the song with something similar, but you know, different as well.
Out of curiosity, are you a person that is able to listen to other music and take inspiration from it when you're in the midst, of the creative process, or is that something that you try not to pay attention to?
A really great question. I love that. I think for me, when I'm in the studio, like there are definitely songs that are floating in my brain that I'm inspired by currently. And just always, and I share that with my producers. But I also think it's a delicate balance between not listening to like a bunch of music over and over before you go into your sessions, because then you're gonna basically make music that sounds like that. And you wanna really tap into your own artistry as well. So I would say I do both. I would say I don't listen to too much, but I definitely share with my producers and say, look, I'm really inspired by like Amy Winehouse right now. I love this Yabba song. I love this song. And I love this riff in this song. And I have this melody idea. And, you know, this isn't that's always inspired me. And especially right now for me, I'm working on my debut EP. So it's more like my first time making a project. And so I kind of do want to listen to the greats because I'm making my first like full project, like the closest to an album I've ever made. And so I do think it's important for me to kind of go back, ironically, to, you know, my roots and, you know, be like, who are the OGs that I listen to? And so I am listening to a lot of music, but I'm also just like, not, if that makes sense. Like a little bit of both.
Yeah. That's a good point about it being a delicate balance for sure.
Exactly, yeah.
I read something funny a few years ago that's always stuck with me, that someone said that if you really strip down a song to its most bare essentials, if it's truly a good song that holds up, and you strip that all away, then it should sound like a country song.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Yeah. And I think that's really that does make sense for sure. And when you think about it, and speaking of, I have been getting like way into various history and different touchstones of country. I recently found one of my what's become one of my favorite podcasts of all time, which is called Cocaine and Rhinestones. I don't know if you've heard of it, but
I
it's
haven't, but the title is funny.
yeah, and it's basically a music critic, Tyler Mahan Coe, who's the son of a famous country artist, David Allan Coe, and he does very, very thorough research into all of these country legends like George Jones or Buck, oh, or Loretta Lynn, and does like these super comprehensive, amazing deep dives where he tries to get as close to the truth as possible about these people's lives and the art that they gave us. And it's one of my favorite things ever. Like I recommend it to people every day.
I love podcasts, so I'm definitely going to check that out. I especially just love like learning about the artists that I am inspired by and just like how their mind worked and just like who they were as people. I think that's really cool.
Yes, absolutely. Same here. Do you read a lot of books about music?
Yes and no. I mainly am just like an interview kind of person. I can just like sit on YouTube and watch all my favorite artist interviews for hours, like I love that more and podcasts, but you know, from time to time, I would say, but mostly I like to watch video interviews.
What is, who's like one of your favorite journalists or reporters to conduct artist interviews.
What was his name? Well, I think he does the Apple interviews.
Oh, Zane Lowe.
Zane Lowe, yeah. Zane Lowe.
Nice. Yeah.
He's beautiful.
Yeah. He asks great questions too. Like, he's been in the business for like a bajillion years. He used to like do stuff for MTV, I believe. I saw like footage of him, I think, conducting an interview with Nine Inch Nails back in the 90s. Yeah, so he's been on top of his game for like 30 years almost. It's really cool.
Yeah, I really like it.
What else are you working on right now that you're very excited about?
Yeah, so I'm just currently working on my debut EP. I'm super excited about that. Just like the first time I've had the opportunity to put together, a project. And the songs I put out this year and early, I mean, late last year were actually songs I recorded and wrote in like 2021. Just because of like timing issues and just people I was working with and schedules and just a ton of things that were outside of my control. And so what ended up happening is like it's kind of been a while since I've been in the studio and it kind of been a while since I've been writing from a place that I felt I initially tapped into when I was writing like my first couple of songs that now are out in the world. And so it's just been like this really fun, creative feeling to actually be tapped into that place where I'm working with like a few new producers, and we're just like making the music that I've always wanted to make. And I had that fear of like, oh, will I be able to top this song because that was popular? Or will I be able to do this? And now it's just like I'm kind of tapped into a whole new kind of part of myself, and I'm just writing songs with like some of the best people I've ever like met. And it's just really exciting because it just feels like it's a new era for me, and it feels like it's like I feel like it's going to be like my breakout kind of project. I feel like it's really like my dream version of my artistry and where I want to take my music next. And I just feel like I'm ready for that.
That's awesome. And what do you feel like is your dream live performance setting? If we're picturing an EP release party or something like that, where do you see yourself doing that? Like, and what do you see like the setting being like?
Maybe like a cool rooftop situation in SF. That would be kind of fun. I would only kind of want like a small group of people, friends, family, and just like my collaborators. I was thinking about doing something like that, and I do want to, just because it's so much work to put together a project, and I feel like we definitely wanna celebrate it out then. So yeah, I'll let you know. Maybe it'll be somewhere else. Maybe it'll be New York. Who knows? But we'll figure it out. But I definitely want to do an EP release party in person, and then hopefully one on like live, like a digital li listening party for like the fans.
Yeah, I like the rooftop idea.
Yeah, I said it was cool rooftop bars and restaurants in the city.
If you're ever looking for a rooftop to play in New York, Elsewhere is one of my all-time favorite hangs in Bushwick.
Nice.
If I could make that recommendation. But yeah, one other question. Who are some of your favorite new emerging artists that you've been really keen on?
It's a good question. I love Twee. So she's an amazing like R&B artist from the Bay Area. She's the girl who sings Girls Don't Cry. And it's like really popular on TikTok now. She's super cool. I don't know if you would consider Yeba new, but I feel like she's finally getting like the credit she deserves, and she's working on a lot of like new music that I'm just loving. I'm a huge Yeba fan, and it's kind of hard to say because I also have a lot of artist friends, but I have another friend. Her name is Bri Oglu, and she's also Turkish American. She's based in Los Angeles, and she's also an amazing artist. And so I feel like she's also on the come up, and she does a lot of shows. She's mainly like a gigging musician, and she's super talented. And yeah, I would throw one of my friends in there just for the, listeners to discover a new artist.
Nice, I love that. I'll definitely be checking her out after.
Thanks.
Have you, I guess, like, in since we've been talking about the concept of roots for a bunch of this conversation, have you been back to Turkey ever since immigrating here?
Yeah, I actually usually go back every summer. And I'm still like very, Turkish in a way. Like I do speak Turkish, and I actually like love Turkish music, Turkish pop music, Turkish like hip hop coming out of like Germany and like Switzerland is like a whole new wave right now. Like even on Spotify, like there's like playlists just dedicated to like Turkish pop and Turkish rap. It's like kind of crazy because we're kind of creating our own genre. There's a lot of cool artists coming out of Turkey, and but yeah, so I definitely go back, and I definitely, want to keep going back as much as possible. It's just hard as you get older as an adult, and it's such a faraway trip. Turkey is like a 14-hour flight, so it's hard to plan for me, but I always want to keep going back and keep that part of me alive.
That's awesome. You mentioned that there are some really cool artists there. Any specific recommendations you would throw listeners' way?
Yeah, I would heavily recommend Murda. He's like just like this cool, like Swedish, German, Turkish rapper. His music is insane. Like he'll literally switch from English to like Turkish to like a little bit of Spanish. And the funny thing is like not only does it flow super well, but if you're kind of bilingual or trilingual, like it actually makes sense. Like the sentences will start and finish, and it's a real sentence, And so for my ears, because I know English and Turkish, I know a little bit of Spanish, and it's like basic Spanish words. So it's just like it's so impressive as a songwriter for me because I know he had to make the syllables be the same so it can flow, it can fit in the bars and the beat, and then also it has to make sense. And it's just like so next level. And then he's just so cool. Like he has his own style. He's been around for like decades, and he's just finally popping off. And he's really popular in Europe, so I would heavily recommend him.
Nice. Is it spelled like Murda?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice. I'll definitely be
Yeah,
checking that out.
please check him out. I would love to know what you think.
For sure. What are some of your favorite, you mentioned, because you mentioned like interviews and like watching a lot of like biographical stuff. Do you have any like favorite documentaries, music docs?
I like Lady Gaga's, I believe her documentary is called 5 Foot 1 or 5 Foot 2 or something like that. I love Lady Gaga. She's one of my favorite artists ever. And I remember that documentary. I remember her opening up about like personal issues, health issues, mental issues, and just like her personal story. And so I love when artists actually let people in. So that's definitely like a documentary that sticks out to me in my mind.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, she's amazing. And also, just so like there's a lot of artists who are really great, but also don't necessarily like talking on a wider scale and stuff like that. Like Lady Gaga, like you can tell, like the media training is like she knows how to talk to journalists and she knows like how to make that like just as much of like just like the I could write a whole thesis on
Yeah.
like the crossover genius of Lady Gaga's branding, marketing, media training, and her conceptual art and stage shows. There's so much material there, like, and it's so interesting, and there's so much to pull from. And obviously, when you're that big, then there's obviously going to be a million mixed reactions to what you're doing, whether people think she's amazing or derivative or in bad taste. Like, she knows how to get people talking, and it's genius. I love her.
I love Lady Gaga. Like, I could talk about her all day. She's just the coolest. She's just 101. There's no one like her.
That is very true. And before I let you go, what else do you have to shamelessly plug?
I do have a fun collaboration track that's going to come out before the end of the year. So I would say stay tuned for that. It's going to be different than the music that I usually make. And it's going to be just really cool. So stay tuned. And then you can find me basically everywhere. I'm on all social media. I'm running around. So it's just Ella Osterk, Ella with one L, on all social media platforms. And then just for Twitter, it's the Ella Osterk. And I do have a website as well. It's just www.ella/osterk.com. And you can kind of just see my upcoming shows, videos, photos, music. I'm working on new merch. So yeah, just stay tuned.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Ella. I hope you have an amazing rest of your weekend.
Thank you. You too. This was really fun.
Thank you so much for listening to Sounding Out with Izzy, and thank you again to Ella Osterk for joining me today. Remember to subscribe and sign up for the mailing list on my YouTube channel and written blog, both under the name A Girl's Two Sound Sense. Give the podcast a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you in the next episode of Sounding Out with Izzy.